Good evening. Seems to be very serious. Uncle told everybody to be very serious, but next two sessions you don't need to be very serious. Okay, after that you can be serious. Is that okay? That's a good deal? First of all, I wanted to congratulate you for choosing to come for this camp, because this is a big decision to come and learn God's word. It's not an easy decision. Many of you would have struggled to take this decision. Should I not? Isn't it? But I'm sure at the end of the camp you will realize how great a decision you took. So I just wanted to congratulate you and give yourself a big round of applause for making this good decision. Louder. Yeah, good. That's good. Very good. Excellent. So ABC 14C is known for heavy lifting. That is the deep truths from the Word of God. And that's really wonderful. But I'm fortunately not told what to speak. Unlike rest of the speakers, I was asked, whatever that God lays in your heart, do it. And so I guess I'm an afterthought. So it's okay. So to that extent, I'm very, very happy and prayerfully chose to speak something. Some trouble? Yeah? It's not catching up to my height? Should I? Is that okay? You can hear me at the last? Okay, great. So what I'm going to do next two sessions are to talk about how great a time that you are as a teenager. Okay, you like that? And I want to tell you that you are never going to be again a teenager. This is the first and the last opportunity to be a teenager. And do you know what it means to be a teenager? No idea. So we're going to talk about that, okay? So this session we will talk about the biggest struggle that you have. Next two sessions, that's what we're going to talk about. As a teenager, one of the biggest struggles that you must have been feeling today: how do I relate with my parents and the society at large? I know that some of you don't have parents. I saw some of you very good friends who don't have parents. And you look at the others and say, I wish I had parents, right? And I tell you, they are looking at you and saying, I wish I didn't one. Many of you, right? Well, so the feeling of being under the authority of someone is what I am talking about. So if you don't have parents, doesn't matter. You are under somebody, isn't it? Somebody is taking care of you as parents. So being under that authority is a little tough one. It's a difficult piece. And why that is so? We don't like being under the society's rules and regulations either, as teenagers, right? Sometimes you must be thinking that that's very unique to me. Only I have this problem. No. I was a teenager a couple of years ago, many years ago, and I also had the same problem. Okay, so it's not unique to you. It's every teenager will go through this problem. Oh, that's why I thought it's important. First, before you start learning God's word, know yourself, who you are. And that's what you're going to do and why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And then it is easy for you to open up and listen to God's word and figure out what God wants you to do as a teenager. Okay, you're with me? Yeah, good. All right. So we'll go first slide to talk about the changing equations. First few slides we are going to look at what are the things that are changing in us as a teenager. Okay? You understand English? Is it okay? Do you want me to mix Hindi? No, thank you. Good. Good that you asked me not to. If I mix Hindi, you will not understand. I need an interpreter for my Hindi. Alright. Okay. So the first thing that we have, that the equation with our parents slightly changes as we progress into teenage. Till the teenage, in the early ages, we love to be around parents. We love to sleep with the parents. We love to move around with the parents. As the age goes by, coming to 14, 15, 16, well, we feel that I have my own identity. I don't want to be the same identity of my parents. Yeah? We first use our full name. And then by the time teenage come, we just use our first name. Why do I say my father's name? I wanted to have my own identity. And that kind of a thought develops into. In relationship with parents, sometimes we start feeling, hey, my parents are pretty old-fashioned. Look at the dress that they're wearing. Look at that salwar kameez. It looks like a sack. I mean, it's not very trendy. It's not having that cuts that it has. It doesn't have the curves. Look at the hair she's wearing. Look at the pant that my father wearing. Look at the chappal he's wearing. He's very old-fashioned. We don't want, I mean, we get embarrassed if our parents comes to our friend circle. Suddenly we are talking all to our friends and our parents land up there. Parents. we feel a little embarrassed about them. We feel that they are not the in things. They are a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? In relationship with society, also there is a bit of change. There are rules and regulations. For example, one of the rules in the roads that you have is the zebra lines, right? Zebra lines. And we are supposed to cross on the zebra lines. If there is a zebra line near a school, have you seen how teenagers cross? They have monkey lines. Other than zebra lines, everywhere else they will be crossing. Because I don't like to do that, what government want me to do. I love to be a little free. I have to have my freedom. That's some fun in breaking the rules, isn't it? There is a big bit of strain with the society and its authorities. Overall, with the authorities, we find a little friction. In the earlier classes, we like a nice teacher, and I know one boy went and told his teacher, "Teacher, I will marry you." Because I like that teacher so much. And in that class, you know, that's the best thing that he can think about. You come to the teenage and you see the teacher and you will try judging the teacher. "Wo achha nahi hai. Unki kuch aata hi nahi hai." He doesn't know anything. I mean, that teacher is not good. That teacher, look at her hairband. Oh, where she got that hairband from? Look at the way she is walking like a Donald Duck. We have a lot of comments, isn't it? Yeah, we have give names to them. Some of them would be, you know, bears and different names that we give to them. And all sort of stuff. We have a friction with them as well, isn't it? Out of all this, if you look at it, one thing emerges. There is a kind of resistance towards the authorities and the rules and the regulations. And we want to establish our own identity into it. And that's teenage for you. I'm sure you relate to me in big ways. And you would also start, you must be feeling this rebellious feeling within you. Sometimes you don't tell it out because you fear others. But it is within you. And maybe with the friends we circle, we talk about these kinds of rebellious feelings within us. And that's quite, before I say it's quite normal, I'll ask this question. Why? Let's go on asking this question. Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like this? Well, there is another aspect of a teenager. Risk unlimited. You seen guys doing like this? Holding on to the back of the lorry and having a good joyride? No, you have not seen this. Have you seen guys holding the cycle and holding on some lorry going back? Have you seen that? Ever seen that? That you have seen that. People take more risk. Risk which, if parents get to know, they get a heart attack. The kind of risk that we take at this teenage. Huge risk that we venture out. I remember my teenage, I didn't know to cycle. And one day my uncle, my father's younger brother, came home and he had a cycle. And he parked the cycle in front of our house and he came inside and was in talk with my parents. And I slowly sneaked out. And I went outside and the cycle was not locked, to my glee. I didn't know cycling. But I've seen cycling, so I thought I know cycling. What's the big deal? You sit on top and it goes, big deal. So I did. And it was going from top to bottom. And I got up and I started moving. It started going and then I suddenly realized I don't know where the brake is and I don't know how to hold the brake. And I could see the cycle is going to one side, not going straight. And I could see one poor man was coming from that side, holding his cycle and slowly walking in. I could see my cycle is straight going on to him. And I started yelling out, move, move, move. And that fellow is wondering, what's wrong with him? And as he was thinking, I went and banged on him. Chak. And he had no clue what was happening. And he got up. He looked around. And he looked at my sake. Kya hua? What happened? And I didn't know what to say. And I looked at my cycle and the brake was broken already. And I got a great idea. Brake broke. Well, brake broke on the banging of the cycle. It was not broken earlier. Leg was bruised and I was walked back holding that cycle back and I kept it back. And after some time, my uncle came out and I also came out with him to watch now what's happening. He took his cycle and suddenly he realized, wo thoda tera hai. Then he looked, brake is hanging in one side. And 2-3 stuff is hanging here and there. For a moment he looked at me, tu gaadi liya kya? I didn't know what to say. How did he find it on earth this? I thought he will never know, nobody saw. I never thought that he can guess it. Later I was thinking, why did I do this? I had no clue about cycling. I have no idea how to hold the brake. And this is a main road where vehicles coming. How do I did that? Years after I realized, because I'm a teenager. I can do that. I can take risk. But then the question is, why? It's not that teenagers are stupid. That's not the answer. I'll answer that a little bit later. But I just wanted you to know, the risk that you take without seeing teachers, without seeing parents, within yourself, it's huge risk that you take. There is some reason, but just ask this question, why? There is huge emotional swing that happens during teenage. That's another third aspect. On a moment you would be very smiling and all there, and then suddenly, kya hua? Mood nahi hai. Mood kya hua? Maali nahi hai, pata nahi hai. Mood nahi hai abhi. I'm feeling very depressed today. I don't know what. I don't feel like doing anything today. Mood, huge mood swings from one end to the other. Sometimes very excited for no reasons. Sometimes so low for no reasons. Unpredictable. There is no reason and rhyme for this. Unpredictable mood swings. And also we think that nobody understands this. Isko pata nahi mein kya fayda. There's no point of telling them. They don't even understand. Nobody understands. Forget about parents. They can't even understand what I'm going through. I am going through some international problems in my heart, which I myself don't know. And my parents, they keep asking, kya hua, kya hua, wo kya hua? You won't understand my problem. I have problem, but I don't know what my problem is. I have problem. That's true. That's true. Why it is so? We also are, as a teenager, always in front of an imaginary audience. Isn't it? We always, if we get 5 minutes, we will think that there are some people around me. And we'll start acting like, he's asking some question, I'm answering some question, she's saying something, I'm answering some smart answers, and I keep acting on my heart, isn't it? I keep talking, I keep saying something. Sometimes we tell it out also, and suddenly parents were, who are you talking to? Nothing. I didn't talk to anybody. I'm talking to myself. I have an imaginary audience to whom I talk. Sometimes we stand in front of the mirror, and then we do that, isn't it? I just went for the meeting and I come back, stand in front of the mirror, and that uncle asked me that question and I said this answer, and the uncle is back. I keep talking, isn't it? An imaginary audience, right? This is typical of teenage. Nothing abnormal about it. If you're thinking that you're an abnormal creature, you're not. Praise God. You're not abnormal. It's normal. Because we live in front of an imaginary audience. Why? Because we are very self-conscious. We wanted others to respect us. We wanted to protect our identity. We want to feel honored by others. And that's why we are there. If you are in the crowd, teenagers, generally you will see the boys. All those things. Huh? Keep doing this. Itna hi hai baki, I mean. But we still do this. And girls also will keep doing it. We were so self-conscious. We try to ensure that we look very nice and appear very right. That's a part of our self-conscious. We are very sensitive. If somebody talks anything about us, we are very sensitive. He wouldn't even meant it. Even if parents make some fun of us, we will laugh with it, but in our heart we will keep, aisa bola. I didn't like that. She wouldn't have said like that, isn't it? Oh, that uncle or auntie, she talked about my, she talked about my churidar. How dare she talk like that? So we are very conscious and sensitive for others' comments at this time. So that's the part of our emotional swings that we have as teenagers. There are some social changes too happening out there. The social changes are like we seek for our own identity. I want to be an independent person. I should be recognized for what I am. Some people try to be the joker of the pack, isn't it? In the group that you have, that person will become the joker. Kuch bhi bolenge, haste raho. So that he will be recognized as a joker of the pack. Some people will be considered to be helper of the pack. He's the person who will help anything. Homework karna, wo bhi kar dega. Exam karna hai, wo bhi karke degi. He's a helper of the group. So each try to make their own identity in the group. This is a way of knowing who I am and knowing how I am related to this society. This is the time as a teenager that would happen in the society. We seek more independence from our parents. If you are sleeping with the parents, then they would want, at this age, I want to sleep separately. I want to be independent. I want to be away. We hate of being told what to do. We don't like anybody telling us to do something. We don't like people telling us to take bath. Isn't it? We don't like to be told that you brush your teeth. I will do it what I want it, when I want it. You don't tell me. That's typical teenage. Okay? So, I don't like to be told because I have my own identity. Yeah? We are very heavily influenced by our friends. At this teenage, in the earlier days, it was teacher was heavily influenced. Even if your mother, who is 10 times educated than your teacher, and she says that this is right, and she, no, teacher told me. Because teacher is the big. Now at the teenage, it's not the teacher, it's not the parents, it is the friend. It's my friend told me. Usko kidhar ka mila? Amale nahi hai. Bollywood se mila hoga. But that's what important. That's the big thing. If my friend said something, that's it. If the friend said this is fantastic outfit, are a fantastic outfit. So friends influence and the society influence in a big way. We try to esteem our own self at this point of time. We have a little less interest for the long-term plans as a teenager. As a teenager, we look for here and now. What will happen today? After 5 years, 10 saal, kya malum? Chhod de. Abhi kya hone wala hai? Aaj kya ho raha? Abhi matlab aaj kya hone wala hai? That's what I am more interested in as a teenager. Why we feel like that? Why do we feel like that? So we had a lot of questions. Are you with me? It looks like teenager, or it's very different. It's only my testimony. No, it's look like. Okay, so it's all very good. I'm happy. All of us feel like that. Very good. Then we should know why. Why am I feeling like this? There is a bit of biology that I would like to take you to. This is the brain, right? And this part is called prefrontal cortex. The part in this side. So the brain is developing. As the brain is developing, during the teenage time, there is something called pruning process. I'm not going into that detail, but I'll just make it simple for you to understand what I'm trying to say. It gets connected and developed from backside to the front side. Okay? From this side, it gets developed and the whole thing gets developed. But by the time prefrontal cortex develops, it could be 23, 24, 25 times. Okay, so in the teenage side, these are the sides develop faster and there. So what? What's a big deal? What's a big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. This prefrontal cortex, this part, is the one that is being used by us as human beings for decision making. So this part is where with which we are equipped to take decisions, to weigh the consequences of our decision, to solve problems of our life, bigger questions, controlling the impulses that we have, the feelings that we have, all this happens from the prefrontal cortex. And that piece is not yet developed. Naras matho, it will get developed. But right now it is not developed. Are ye to kya hai? So how do I take decision then as a teenager? Oh, you take decision as a teenager, or we all take decision as a teenager, by the help of this amygdala, this piece, okay, that's colored it here. The arrow is coming there. That's a wonderful piece actually. That's the seat of emotions. That's the seat of impulses, the feelings, the aggression that I have, the instinctive behavior that I have. All that comes from this piece of amygdala. All our life that will be there. But as you grow older, what happens is, these amygdala produce the impulses, the feelings, and all that gets checked with the prefrontal cortex, and then cortex, and then a decision, a holistic decision gets taken. But when we are in a teenage, we don't have the ability of the front side, prefrontal cortex. So we take decisions from emotions. We take decisions out of impulses, out of aggression, instinctive behavior that we do. Is that a bad deal? Something wrong with us? No, that's how God has created it. I show you, that is not a bad deal. Let me just show to you a few people who in their teenage use this amygdala capability to the hilt, which they would have never done in their all of their rest of their life. See these people out here. Alexander the Great, he conquered the countries. He started conquering at the age 18. Joan of Arc, she's a military leader of France. At age 17, she turned around the tide that was against France. Pascal developed the calculator at the age 19. You must, if you are into sports, you would have heard this Russian lady Nadia. She got a perfect 10 in gymnastics in Olympics at age 14. Bobby Fischer, the chess grandmaster, he was the chess grandmaster at age 15. Braille, you have heard of Braille? Yeah, the ones the with which the blind people read. This was developed by this Louis Braille at the age of 15. Mary Shelley wrote the modern Prometheus when she was 18. Malala, you heard of her, don't you? Yeah, of Pakistan. She became the Nobel Peace Prize winner at age 17. Bill Gates, Microsoft, Word, on which I'm working the computer right now, he's co-founded this company at age 19. They all had this amygdala only. They didn't have the ability on the front side because they were also teenagers when they did this. What is it telling us? What it tells us is, this is an amazing period where if you really channelize the emotions, the impulses, the ability of taking risk in the right direction, you can be one of them. And next time when I come to the camp, maybe after 10 years, I can put your photo here. I mean it. I can do that. Provided you are willing to use it the way they used it. That's the possibility that you have. It's a God-given ability and the development at this age. And you are not at risk. But there is a risk if you don't use it the right way. What is the risk that you run? First of all, it lacks consideration for the consequences. When I'm taking decisions on my emotions and impulses, I don't think, what's the consequence of what I'm doing? Wo baad mein dekhenge. Jab aata hai tab dekhenge. Hai na? Tab dekhenge. Jab exam aata hai tab padhenge. We all have that, right? So that's the living with impulses. I'm not able to look at the consequences. If I fail, what will happen? If I lose marks, what will happen? How it is going to affect my future? That's the danger that we should know. The first casualty here is the relationship with your God. If you are not careful at this age, because you will lack the spiritual interest in your spiritual things. Because your lookout would be here and now. Abhi kya karna wala hai? What will I do now? What's the fun now? Right now, what's the benefit that I get? But spiritual things are not just for right now. Spiritual things for your life, long and for eternity. If you don't consciously understand that, slowly, in the teenage, you will lose the interest on spiritual things. And that's a big trouble that you have. Your friends, many of them would not be Christians or believers or godly people. So to that extent, when you are influenced by them, you will start losing your faith and your interest. And you think even God is an old-fashioned thing. Sometimes you feel that these spiritual things are of my parents. Since I don't like my parents and I think that my parents are old-fashioned, I don't want their spirituality either. I don't want their spirit. I don't want their God. That's the danger that you will go to. And then there will be guilt and depression that will build up within you. For the spirit within you tell you that you're doing wrong. But I don't like that. And then that depression and guilt takes you further away from God and spiritual things. This is a big danger. Another big casualty would be the parental relationship. We don't like authorities. And if we are not conscious about that, we will start losing respect to them. We will start using harsh words to them. We started showing anger to them. We started making fun of them in secret. We started thinking about them in a very low manner. And slowly and steadily, we lose respect for the parents God has kept for you. And in that process, we started losing the values of the parents. We think that those values are all old-fashioned. I don't want those values at all. And that's the second casualty. And then, of course, we generally lose relationship with the authorities. Be it in the church, if the elders of the assembly say something like that, you wear something, wear your headscarf, or don't wear this dress, or sing a little louder. You don't like them. I don't like the church. Hey, all these people are all hypocrites. You hear a lot of young people say that, isn't it? They don't relate to me. What kind of songs they sing? They sing songs like in some cemetery. They can't have anything new. Where is the hill song? What songs they're singing? You don't like that. We lose because of our innate impulse of working against the authorities. We started hating all, be it parents, be it church, be it school teachers, whoever controls, we don't like. Our motto would be, it's my life. It's my life. I don't want anybody to control my life. It's my life. That's the danger. How do we handle this? Now you have realized where we are. The positive side you have seen, the negative side you've seen. I want to now land down. How do we handle this situation? Yeah, once you know why you are behaving the way we are behaving, then it is good to figure out, how do I then change? What changes that I can make on the whole thing? How do I handle parents? Rather than being like this, how can I handle my parents? Maybe we will read one verse, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. Can somebody read it very quick, fast, so that not a single second is lost? Proverbs 22 and 28.
Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set.
Ha. Don't remove the ancient landmarks which are set. Landmark ka matlab maalum hai? Landmark matlab, if you have a property, around the property there are some landmarks. To let that you know that this is the boundary, that which is yours. Yeah, that's the landmark. Don't remove it, is what he's saying. I'm just interpreting it. There are some boundaries parents have kept for you, or those who are looking after you kept for you. Some boundaries. Raat 6:30 baje ghar pahunchna hai. Ek boundary hai. Hai na? Morning you need to read the word of God. That's a boundary. Don't have friendship with so and so and so and so. That's a boundary. There are some boundaries kept for you. And the wise man of the world says, the wisest man in history says, don't remove these boundaries. You see, we don't like these boundaries as a teenager, as I already told you. But then why? What is the rationale of not removing these boundaries? I'll just give you an example. If I have a plot of land and I am having a beautiful exotic flowers that I am growing in that particular land, I obviously put a boundary, isn't it? Why do I put a boundary around my garden? So that all these flowers will not jump out and run away? Is that why? No. Why do I put the boundary? So that others will not come here inside. No invaders will come inside. These precious flowers would be protected. That's why the boundaries are kept. Often we think, no, boundaries are because our parents don't trust us. Hey, Gini. We think that way. We think that, yes, pura boundary hai na, 6:30 baje ghar aana hai. Kyo? Mujhe trust nahi hai. Trust nahi hai. Dekho mere friend ko. 11 baje aata hai raat ko. Yeah, yeah. Pity her. Look, boundaries are kept not because you are not trusted. Boundaries are kept because they don't trust the world. They have gone through this world. They know what's there in the world. What is lurking around to take your life on. The beauty of you being plucked and stamped down. Hence they kept the boundaries. And the wisest man tells us in Proverbs, remove not the ancient landmarks, dear friend. That's a good thing to do. So you adhere to the family routines that you have. If they say that there is a family prayer time, slide a sheet. I'm so sorry. I thought organizers has got some mechanism of stopping it quickly. No, there is 10, 15 minutes more. Okay. So it is critical that some of these boundaries that we have, even if we don't like it, tell to ourselves, these are boundaries for myself. Let me be there. Let me obey them, and that will help. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20, we read, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Talk to them respectfully. Try and understand things from their perspective. They're not trying to restrict you. They're not going to live all your life, by the by. And they're not going to control you all your life. All you teenagers, max. Another 6 years to 10 years, all of you would be out from the control of your parents. You would be of your own. Completely. Isn't it? So it's a few years God has given you under them. And that would be a time that you would grow. And these boundaries will help you to have this growth of your body and your mind very peacefully without being attacked by the world. Okay? So that's how we handle our parents. Another one is, how do we handle our society? Would you read chapter 2 of Proverbs and verse 20? Yeah, that's a good citizen. Good men and the righteous. Be good people. Wherever it is said men, it's also women, okay? So be good citizens, a good people, and a righteous people in that. How do we do that? I remember having bought a car, got a car from my office for the first time, and so precious, but there was no car parking in Bangalore, parked outside. And there were some teenagers around there. And the next day morning I come, the second day, and I saw ABCD written on my car with the stones. How do you feel about it? It's terrible, isn't it? But years later, even now that ABCD is there in my car, years later I was thinking, why did he do that? What fun he got. It is just this impulse. Sabke saath chal raha tha, and he wants to be the leader. I'll show you some fun. Look, ha, naya car hai, kar diya. Has he gained anything? He just got an identity that I am the naughty of the group. And he got everybody, very good. But what did he do to that society? For the next 2 months, I was standing outside every day so that I will catch hold of the guy. So they lost the opportunity of coming that way. They see me from the far and they have to go some 3 miles away and walk around and go to their school. What's the fun? What do you gain out of it? Be respectful. Be kind to people. Think the consequence of what you're doing. In the society, be people who are good people, who are righteous people. And that's something that you have to consciously cultivate within you. And that will help you in that. I want to close with one final one. Wisdom at teen. What else we should do? You see a dog holding his own leash? All right, which means to say you got to control yourself. Why do you want your parents to control you? Why don't you control? That's the better thing to do. Instead of your parents telling you to do this, do that, don't do that, don't do this, why don't you put yourself into that mechanism? That will be exciting, frankly, and that will be very good. How, what all that I can do? First of all, one should understand that these habits that I develop as a teenager will be hardwired in my brain. That's a very big one. Whatever that I habitually start doing as a teenager will get hardwired in my brain. And I will become a character of that in my later years. It's not easy then to come out. So don't get wrong things hardwired in your hard disk. Handle carefully. You be careful of what you make a habit for yourself. Develop some good habits so that that gets hardwired in your teenage. You have a teenager in the Bible, Daniel, a teenager. Can you tell me one habit that he developed? Oh, praying three times. Very good. Well, fantastic. He made a habit as a teenager, praying three times a day. It was a habit. Be it rain or sunshine, be it whatever political climate, that's a habit that he has built up. Build up such good habits to yourself, which will get hardwired. That's a wonderful thing to do as a teenager. Develop healthy friendships in this teenage. Daniel had some three friends, fantastic friends. Can you tell me them? Yeah, fantastic. These were very good friends. There were thousands of people came from Israel. It's not that these four people came. Thousands. Some writers say it was more than 10,000. So many people came. But there were some four friends. In the midst of it, they became thick friends. When you have so many friends, best friend forever for the first year. Have some friends which are really help you to stick to these good things. Who are good people. Who are righteous people. Who encourage you to read your Bible. Who encourage you to do right things. Who perhaps when you do wrong things would tell you, I think that wo achha nahi hai. I think that's not a good thing. Get some good friends. We don't have too many in Bombay. I know that. But look around and see some good friendships that you can develop. If you don't have any, pray, Lord, make somebody a good friend for me. And influence them with the word and words as well. Thirdly, build your value system. This is the time that you have to decide what is good and what is bad. That value system you have to develop. Well, parents could give you a good value system. Unfortunately, some parents don't have good value system. Unfortunate it is. So if your parents don't have a good value system, if the traffic cop catches the father and he goes and give 20 rupees and come out, don't follow his value system, even if he is a father. If he tried to fleece the income tax officer, don't follow his value system. Where do you get the value system then? You can get it from the word of God. This is the book that gives you the value system. You have a teenager, Joseph, a teenager that you see in Genesis chapter 39. And he was in a strange land. And he was tempted terribly. A terrible temptation. And you read in chapter 39 verse 9. He comes out with his value system. What did he say? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Where did you get it? Ye bhari cheez hai. How can I do this sin against my God? His value system was connected towards his God. Not towards his brothers. His brothers didn't have any value system. They were willing to sell him for money. He lived in that system, which was not a good system at all. Perhaps his father also was not a great spiritual leader at that point of time. He was still coming up. Where did he get this value system then? He got it a direct link to his God. To dear brothers and sisters, please build this value system from the word of God. Read your Bible. Learn the value system. Connect it to the God. And that will make you a real strong Christian. Good citizens. Righteous human beings in this society. Thirdly, I would encourage you to find new creative and expressive outlets that you can do. Learn some music or some writing or something that you can do maybe debating or learning or understanding or maybe picking up apologetics or things like that. Next 4 days perhaps you will pick up something that you would find it interesting. Keep doing something productive and nice. Whatever that it be. Not necessarily all the time to the Bible. You can pick up anything that you have. Maybe an art. Maybe something. Pick up something that will engage you and that will encourage you. Yeah? Final slide. I'm sorry. We are in the final slide. The final point, what I mean to say is, control your emotions with spiritual grounding. I just want you to read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Shall we all read it together? Can you all take Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and we will close with that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You all got the Bible? Proverbs chapter 3, and verses 5 and 6. You're ready? Hello? Ready? Okay. I'll say 1, 2, 3, and you can start, okay? 1, 2, 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Before you leave this place, by heart this verse. This is a brilliant verse. There are three things I wanted to tell you here. First of all, trust. The word trust is basically attach yourself. Attach yourself. Be like one, meshed together. Attach yourself unto the Lord. We read in Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like a shepherd and a sheep is attached to each other, so that he will have no want at all in his life. Attach yourself. You can attach yourself to God without any fear, because he is a God who cares for you. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, we read, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Even if you trust nobody in this world, even if you think that nobody else understands you, trust the Lord, because he understands you and he looks for your good and not for evil. You may think that trusting your friend is a good thing. It is not a good thing. The wisest man ever lived on earth, perhaps, in a human terminology, we read, Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Let's not trust our friends for these kinds of things. Let's trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Then the second word is? Hello? Lean not, okay? Lean not unto thine own understanding. See, how do you take decisions in teenage? I said a word. Back of the brain. What was that? Huh? Amygdala. Forgot. Don't forget this word. It's a very interesting biological word. Amygdala. In between you can tell each other, yeah, decision thoda amygdala hai tera. You can tell that. That's a good word. Amygdala. See, we trust our own understanding through amygdala. Right? Don't do that as a teenager. Lean not unto your own understanding. It's like leaning onto a wall. Don't lean on to your own understanding. Rather, lean on to God. That's what it's saying. On one word it says, lean not. The other word it says, lean to. So lean not into your understanding, but lean to God. And then, all your ways acknowledge him. This is brilliant. As a teenager, everything that you do, every way that you go, every decision that you do, if you can acknowledge God in that, for a moment you can say, Lord, I'm doing this and I know you are with me. If you can do that acknowledgement, you would be one of those pictures that I put out there, or much more than that. Great men in this world. Great women in this world. Lean not unto your own understanding. Lean to the Lord. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. Or in the other way, if I flip it around, don't go to any way, where you can't acknowledge this God. Did you get that? Don't do anything that you can't acknowledge God and give God credit for that. Simple. It's as simple as that. So as a young person, as a teenager, let's acknowledge God in all our ways, and don't do anything, or don't go to any place, and don't have any relationship where you can't acknowledge God and credit him for what is happening. If you do that, What will happen? What is the promise? Hello? What is the promise? He shall direct your path. You have a long way to go. You are just the beginning of your path. You are just on your teenage. There is a long way before you. Beautiful path. Don't you want somebody to guide you? Don't you want some amazing person to guide you? To show you the path, who knows the end from the beginning. Who says, I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. I know where you go. I can hold you and I can show you the path. How beautiful it would be, isn't it? I remember we were driving from Agra to Mathura in the middle of the night. And suddenly it was so foggy. We couldn't see anything in front of us. And all the family of us, we were going. Just can't see anything. Not even 1 meter. Halfway through, it was a terrible night. Middle of the night. And then suddenly, from nowhere, a big car came in front of us. And there was a tail light of that we could see. And it was just going, zooming in front of us. I don't know how it was going. And I told the driver, just go behind him. And he could see just that tail lamp. And he was going, looking at that tail lamp and nothing else, all through to Mathura. 3 hours, 4 hours journey. Just one tail lamp. Don't you think you want the angel of the Lord to lead you like that? He's saying, I will do that for you. You don't have anybody perhaps, but I will do that for you. You just trust me. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways. I will direct your paths. Shall we close our eyes? Ask yourself this question. Am I willing to trust my Lord and give my life into your hands? Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to trust you. Not to trust my friends or my own understanding. Help me to acknowledge you, Lord, in everything that I do and in every relationship that I am in. Father, help me not to do anything which is not your will. Help me, Father. Oh, direct my path, Lord. Would you pray that prayer? Then you would be blessed. Father, we thank you for giving thy word. Glory to you, Father, in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. God bless you.